Welcome to Contractor Cuts, where we cover the good, the bad, and the ugly of growing a successful contracting company.
Welcome back to Contractor Cuts. My name is Clark Turner.
I'm Jerry Flo.
Thank you for joining us again this week. So we are in the middle of a three-part series. Last week, we talked about base foundation of a company when you're getting started or you're relaunching or you're trying to get serious. What should you do to lay that foundation?
Key points of things that you need to have set up to develop a great company.
We walk through our 280-point checklist of the base level. Again, we have base level, level one, two, three, and four. But we walked through the base level last week. And what we do with the base level is we give that out to our podcast listeners. If you listened last week, we talked a lot about what you need to be doing every, you know, checkbox by checkbox to where – you know, there's so many things that you have to do. Here's the three things you got to be working on this week.
Yep.
Here's the three things next week you should be working on. Here's the two things, if you get those done, to get that done. To where it's bite-sized pieces to get your company launched or to get you, get your feet underneath you to start running faster and growing your company.
It's a, you know, what we're offering is a great way, is a pulse check, you know, of your company. Like, have I got everything set up that I think that I need to have set up? And we can just go through that list together. You email us as the podcasters, podcast listeners, and email us and say, hey, I'd love to do that.
Yep.
We'll get on a call. We'll go through that stuff and we'll come up with, you know, three or four or five items of like, oh, I didn't even realize I need to have that set up. That's a great idea. And you just execute. Yeah. Right.
I mean, and we give that for free to anyone on our complete or advanced or unlimited version.
Yeah.
You get that for free. So you know, we want to help you get to where
you need
to go.
It for free. I charge.
But. Yeah. So that was kind of last week and where we started. This week we're talking about level one contractors. And so that is, I've really starting level one, going from base to level one is you start level one kind of selling yourself. I am the product. I am doing all the work and kind of you're getting me, right? And I'm the system and how my brain works and how I deliver customer service. And throughout level one, we're growing to where at the end of level one, your product is your company. Your company is being sold. I'm running the company, but in the company, I've built processes and who I am essentially as a really good GC or really good carpenter, whatever you are. The company is now that, right? And so through this level is how I'm starting really step out of swinging the hammer or being on site constantly. And by the end of this, I'm a full-time project manager, running the projects, running my labor, running the crews, getting everything done. And so this level one, going through this is a year-long journey half the time. But in that level, what we're doing is stabilizing the company.
Right.
Because level two is going into hiring. And so we'll talk about that next week. But level one is – I went from launching it and having kind of my foundation to throughout level one, I'm building the house that I'm going to grow, right?
Yeah.
And so I've got now systems in place. I'm growing those. And last week we talked about three things, the three base fundamentals that we always coach on.
Yeah.
Time management, organization,
and
software,
financials.
And then last one is financials.
Yeah.
And so level one is doubling down on all those. And how do we do that? And what do you need to be doing extra for those things?
Yeah. Well, and one of the things just for kind of insight on level one, we have a org chart that we have built that is every single step from you as a guy in a truck running jobs by yourself to the next level of I'm no longer running jobs and I'm a project manager and I'm managing people to hiring employees to duplicate yourself to hiring management staff and so on. Right. So we've got that built out in level one. It is, it's kind of geared around the people that are pulling their tool belt out, executing the work on site every day. They are a laborer, but they also own the company and they're wanting to transition from laborer to project manager. Now, if you're beyond that as a company and you've already got a couple project managers, when you come into our coaching program, we still run you through this.
Yeah.
Just like we did on the base level, we're going through and checking off the boxes. Have you got these things done? Because each one of the levels build on each other to prep to be ready for execution of what needs to happen in level one and then level two and level three.
Exactly.
So we, even if you're beyond this and you're not, you know, the guy in the truck and you've been project managing for a long time and you've got a couple project managers that you're managing, we're going to run through this to see, have you got these things executed? Yeah. No, I haven't done those things. Okay, cool. Then we're going to pause there. Yeah. We're going to get those things done before we move into the things. Maybe you're on level three. I'm not going to be working on the things in level three that you need to be doing until we have these things set up.
Yeah. Right? I think a great example, we've had guys coming in that, you know, their company has been around for 15 years. Mm-hmm. They might have 60 to 70% of this list already done. That's check those boxes in the first session. Great. Now, what about this? What about this? Right. A great example of this is a job description and an HR process mm-hmm. on making hires.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Well, I mean, the last three hires are just dudes that I knew. One's my brother-in-law. One's this. Great. So let's build a systematic way that we're going to do that before we make the next hire. Yeah. Right. And so you might have some of this stuff built, quote unquote built, but you're doing it in your company. But let's sit down and show you why we need to develop it more for the future.
Well, because you hired your brother and your brother-in-law because there's built-in trust.
Yeah.
Right. When you hire in the future, you've only got a certain amount of brothers and brother-in-laws, yeah. right? When you hire in the future, you're going to hire somebody that you hope you can trust.
Yeah.
That's just a reality. That's what happens when you hire in the future, but I can't base my company on hoping I can trust somebody. I have to have systems and processes to create accountability so that there's accountability to hold that in place.
Yeah. Right? And as we've talked about many times, hiring family, having these accountability points put in place mm-hmm. allows them to fire themselves.
Right.
Don't make me fire you, man, but you aren't doing X, Y, and Z.
Correct.
And so it allows the separation of family as well, if needed. So diving into it, level one, first place we're starting, dedicated time spent on processes and growth, right?
Yep.
So we want to start out looking through how to dedicate time towards your processes and towards your growth. So what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Job site, project management process. Let's start there. When you're in the base level, this is kind of how I run things. And so going into level one, it is, let's start systemizing exactly how you do it. How do you do your estimates? Let's talk about desk estimates and pre-qualing new clients. How is that executed within your company? How do you do that? And we kind of hear, I really get on the phone with them and kind of talk through, or they shoot me an email and I hop in my truck and drive to their house. However the front end works, how does that work? And let's walk all the way through from there to your final estimate.
Yeah.
And let's start refining that process. So how you do it naturally really well, we can help other guys that aren't as good as you implement this and duplicate how you're doing it.
Right.
Right.
Well, and just to kind of back up a little bit, but it applies to what we're saying. I meant to say this a second ago. In this section, in the way that we run this, I think there's just like we said in the base launch in this, there's two main goals.
Yeah.
The first one is making that transition from a laborer, from the guy putting on the belt, to a project manager, right? And some of these things that we're talking about actually help you make that transition, right? Yep. Of understanding how I run jobs and all of that stuff. But that's the kind of the first, you know, first goal is to make that transition to now I'm full project managing. I'm not putting my belt on anymore.
Yeah.
Once you're in that position, your job, your goal is to be assessing, auditing yourself. What is it that I do? Why do I do it that way? And is that replicatable? Is that something that I can write down as a process so that when I move forward, I can bring other people into? So that's kind of the two goals in this, making the transition to a project manager, full-time project manager, and then recording the why of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? How do I, what is it about me that makes clients come back and want to use me again? How do I document that and replicate that in somebody else?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That's kind of the main goal. So I meant to say that earlier, but it applies to kind of the project management process. That's once you're a full-time project manager, let's come up with a system of the way that you do it.
Yeah.
How do you do that? For us and our coaching clients, we have a 10-step spelled out in extreme detail.
Yeah.
Process of from the first time a client calls us on the phone all the way through the job is over. How do I follow up? How do I get references, referrals? How do I get reviews? All of that stuff.
Yep.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, real quick. You're listening to this podcast because you are growing your company to the next level. Getting efficient, building structure, and creating organization is a foundation of growth. We've created ProStruct 360 software so you can spend less time doing paperwork and more time growing your company. Sign up today for free at ProStruct360.com. Whether you're using our free version to send estimates and invoices and getting paid online, or you choose one of our paid subscriptions to add in sending work orders, email, and QuickBooks integrations, and so much more, stop putting off what you know is necessary to get to the next level. Take control of your growth at ProStruct360.com. Yeah, that's great. And getting that, we all have a process.
Right.
If you're running any sort of company, you have a process. Mm-hmm. It's how do we pull it out of your brain and convert it to where we can train people on the important things.
If you don't have a process, you better get one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, your process is just lacking.
Yeah.
Right? You've got a process. You just get back to calls whenever you have time. Mm-hmm. That's your process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So job site project management process is kind of where we start refining and defining. The next one. Labor development,
mm-hmm.
crews, subcontractors, vendors. How do we develop those to be part of our team? How do we train them up? How do we keep them accountable? How do we grow these other companies as subs? Or maybe you have on-staff labor, but grow them into better people, better businesses inside of
mm-hmm.
our company.
Mm-hmm.
That's the really secret to growing a good company is – if you're all subs, which is a way that we push a lot of the time, is mainly 1099 as a project manager, even if they're separated out, I'm going to help them become a better business by working with us.
Yep.
So I'm going to systemize how we interact, and so they know exactly how to get paid, exactly how they don't get paid,
mm-hmm.
exactly what they should be doing on my job site. And so we start developing that with you and inside your company, starting with like subcontractor agreements, subcontractor mm-hmm. paperwork, onboarding paperwork, onboard training, all sorts of stuff that we want to do with the new vendor subs or labor coming in if you're hiring an in-house W-2.
Right.
Either way, how are we going to do that successfully to where we're not just saying, oh, you're a painter? Great, go paint this house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Instead, hey, let me show you how we operate in our job sites and kind of how you fit into that. Let me show you how you make the most money and you don't get called back seven times. Let me show you how I do my final walk. So we kind of walk through that process of the labor development.
Well, and in that specific thing, one of the things that I, at this level, I spend a lot of time helping guys get to and understand, just like with time management, I want to get my control of my time.
Yeah.
I don't have other people controlling my time. I'm getting control of my time. In this one, when it comes to developing my labor, a lot of guys that I talk to in this spot are just having the other guys tell them what they want.
Yep.
I want $8,000 to do this. And they go, okay, go $8,000 and I'm going to mark that up and I'm going to charge my client. And the problem with that is the byproduct of that is that your subs are the ones that are dictating how your company is run, how much money you charge, how whether you're competitive or not,
yeah.
right? Maybe that $8,000 that guy wants is what you should be charging.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he's asking for the $8,000. You're marking that up by 15, 20, 30%.
Yep.
And you're way out of price and you're not landing any jobs, right? So this is the place where I start working on how do we train your subs how to, how I pay them. I'm going to pay you this amount. I'm going to dictate how much I'm paying you on these things. So you become more in control of how much money I'm paying out, and you have a better, it also tightens up that leaky bucket yeah. of if the guy knows that he can come to you and say, hey, I want $8,000. And then in the job, he can say, I need another $500. And you just kind of can continue forking it out to him. That's never going to work as a long-term model, right?
Yeah, that's right. So after labor development, we want to look at pipeline development, customer development, how we interact with customers, mm-hmm. how do we get referrals, how do we do marketing, branding, advertising, all that sort of stuff. Again, that's kind of setting the baseline for the end of this. Normally, when you're a one-man show, if you're doing it well, you've got this word-of-mouth groundswell.
Great reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you start hiring, we need to go a little quicker in terms of organic growth mm-hmm. and organic word of mouth. So what does that look like? How do we develop that pipeline? Because the end goal of level one is to make that first hire that's going to be your number two in the company. But
in that spot, you want to be able to find yourself. The natural referrals and word of mouth is always great, and it's fantastic. But there's not really a great way to turn that valve up or down.
Yeah.
Right. So finding a client or a specific type of business that you're in that industry that allows you to kind of build some relationships, make a phone call to a guy and say, hey, I need a couple more, you know, whatever it is, but having a little bit more control over your pipeline. It could be just, you know, marketing itself, right? Turning up, you know, paid marketing or any of those things, but you want to be able to understand your pipeline so that there are levers on it. And it's not just like, well, I have a pipeline. Whenever jobs come in, they come in.
Yeah.
You need to be able to have some control over it.
Yep. That's right. And then the last process that we're trying to look at in development level one is your office management, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're out in the beginning of level one, you're out in the field a lot. And so there is a certain amount of reactive office management that you're doing, but we want to start building that time in to start working on office stuff. Again, go back a few weeks in the podcast where we talk about what you should be doing office versus in the field. But we want to start developing to where as I have processes built out of maybe the paperwork of a vendor and how do we collect payment, all of that stuff is easy when I'm running everything. Mm-hmm. When I hire someone, they're going to ask those questions and you got to be able to show them this is exactly how we do it. So when if this is how I onboard a vendor is I know how to do it. I just talk to them. I kind of ask these questions. That's great. Now, if I hire Jared and say, Jared, all right, go find some vendors for us. Okay. How do I do that? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I'll just go find them.
Yeah. Right.
And so that sort of thing, or how do we, you know, collect payment? How do we do invoicing? How do we, you know, if someone doesn't pay us, what are we doing lien wise? All of that sort of thing to understand on the back end off the job site, this is how the company has to function.
Yeah.
And the bigger we get, the more important that part's going
to
be.
Well, right? all of these things, and this is where this is leading up to, but the next level is when we're considering hiring.
Yeah.
Right. Well, all of these things are going to be the things that your employees are going to come to, a good employee is going to come to you and ask you, how do I do this?
Yep.
Whatever it is.
Yep.
And so all you're doing in this spot is thinking through those things, coming up with a process so that you can tell somebody, here's how we do it.
Yeah. And the secret is you're not a genius. And the way that you do things is about 90% good. And when you start writing it down and looking at it and assessing it, you're going to find that last 10% to make it perfect.
Absolutely.
Right. And so it is for the future. But when you start doing it, you're really refining how well your company's performing and how clients are experiencing you.
Yeah. And a lot of guys don't want to do this because it doesn't earn money.
Yep. Yeah. It's an investment in the future.
That's exactly what it is.
And so you're right. It doesn't earn today money. Mm-hmm. It earns tomorrow money. And again, people have a tough time looking at the value of that investment for the future.
Right.
But then they come back to you in 6 months and say, I just haven't grown.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's because you're not growing.
Yeah.
Like you got to invest in yourself and your company to be able to grow it to that level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our time management session. Again, we cover the time management, the organization and software and financials. When we're looking at time management, that's the stuff we're diving into. And we'll move on to the organization and software. Mm-hmm. But along with this, we're not going to go line by line like we did in the last podcast. If you're watching on our socials, we've got – this is level one, all of our checklists that we do. And with it, Jared was talking earlier, we've got an org chart that walks you through exactly every single step that you're going to make in each level to where it's all bite-sized pieces. Now, like I said, we're not covering these bite-sized pieces individually today. We're kind of talking about them in groups. Mm-hmm. But the cool part is, like we're about to talk about software. Level one has the checkboxes for software. Level two, we have different checkboxes for software. We're going to do it differently. Level one, this is our office work. This is what you should be doing in office work. Level two, now I made a hire. This is the more expanded office work that you need to be doing. Right? And so as you grow, you don't need to learn how to run an office when you're hiring someone. You just got to make sure we're planting the seeds to where when we get there, it's all organized and ready for us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So going into
software,
mastering the software, mission control.
Mm-hmm.
Running as a PM and separating yourself as an owner is where I want you to start mentally going in this level, right? To where you can put on your project manager hat and you say, okay, this is how I'm running this job. This is what I'm doing. And then you get to the office on a Friday, you take the project manager hat off, put your owner hat on and say, would I fire this guy? How mm-hmm. do I want him doing it differently? Because mm-hmm. we're setting the bar of how our next hire is going to look. And so what does it look like to run a job in the software as a project manager? Because when you're in base, when you're entering level one, your jobs are going to look a little sloppier. You're right. not going to upload those photos. They're all on your phone. Why would I do that for myself? I'm not going to make the notes about what the client conversation was. I'm not going to take a screenshot of a text message and upload to the, I'm not going to do that stuff because
it feels monotonous.
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing this? I know this information. All those photos are on my phone.
Yeah. But level one, I'm going to force you to start doing that mm-hmm. because as soon as that becomes second nature and the habit of the company, when we hire someone, they start doing that. And that's right. how you keep them accountable.
Yep.
The software, when you start making hires, switches because the software, once you're in the hiring phase, is how I can have full control of my job site without micromanaging this person running
mm-hmm.
the job.
Mm-hmm.
I can view everything. I can see. I can assess. I can sit down and look at it. We can talk through it once a week. I can say 30,000 foot view, but no, this is exactly down to the dollar, the profit we're making. This is where we're losing money. This is what's happening. All this software shows you all that.
Yeah.
So the it's built to where you can run jobs in it, but then you can also manage your company in it as yeah. you grow.
Well, and the thing that is great about that is that it with employees, it naturally gets to a place where when you're creating reviews and doing all that stuff on a weekly basis, not monthly, quarterly reviews, but just looking at what's going on, it's by nature of it, it's going to yellow flag issues that are going on, whether it's there's an issue with the client, there's an issue with how the job is being executed, there's right yep. those are going to be yellow flagged before they become red flags and they're a snowball running downhill.
Well, and we'll get into this next week when it goes into hiring, but yeah, the software is where I start coaching and mm-hmm. growing my mm-hmm. my project manager, because I can go in there and say, hey, why haven't you ordered the dumpster yet? Well, I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. Well, let me help you think through how the order of operations on a job site goes. Let me help coach you on why we need to get that in. And so I can do that in a 30-minute talk at the office, as opposed to showing up to the job site 3 weeks in and not having a dumpster there. And now we got a pile of trash that we're going to have to pay someone to put into the dumpster when it gets here, and we've ruined the grass.
Yep.
Right? And so understanding, having this organized, you're eliminating a ton of time in the future of mistakes, reputation, and money.
Well, and that goes into the next thing, is that it's going to, by using it as your mission control, it's how I'm running my jobs. It's how I'm keeping it up with communication. It is also how I provide great customer service.
Yep.
And really what we found is great customer service at the end of the day is about experience.
Yep.
It's about proactive communication. It's about being the customer viewing you as they're in charge. They know what's going on. They've got the ball and they're running with it, and I can trust them with it.
Or almost they don't need to be. They don't feel the need to be in charge.
That's right.
Right? Like, I feel full control that you're in charge of this.
Yeah. And so the software, just a simple example is using the task system and the next client contact.
Yeah.
A system that I can set it and forget it. I put this thing in there and it's going to remind me, hey, it's time to push a communication point to this client.
Yep. Every job in our every job card on the job has a next client contact that you can fill in.
Yep.
And it creates a task on your task list that says, on next Thursday, is the next time I need to talk to this client. Mm-hmm. I set it. I forget it. Next Thursday, I sit down. I see my task list. Oh, I got to call this client. Great. I'm communicating consistently and I didn't forget. And then now they're calling me the following week saying, hey man, where you at? What's going on?
Happening?
What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Where mm-hmm. they're coming to me for that information.
That's
that's a great example of creating that higher customer service by utilizing the tools and the software to make sure that you don't drop balls.
Yep. Yep.
It also avoids the 12 o'clock at night waking up like, oh crap, I didn't send that guy mm-hmm. an email.
Yep. Yep. The next one is using the software is going to help you. There's a lot of different points in a renovation or any kind of construction work that just are naturally a leaky bucket.
Yep.
And by utilizing the software, you're creating organization specifically around, clear communication with your crew and with your client of what's being done and what's not being done.
Yep.
Right. One of the biggest leaky buckets is when it comes to money and reputation. Something was talked about with the client. It never made it on the estimate. The client just saw the bottom line dollar and said, yes, we're good to go. Three quarters of the way through the job, they go, hey, why didn't we install cabinets in that butler pantry? Well, we didn't have, it's not on there. Like, well, we talked about it. Why is it not done?
You walked through it.
Yeah. Why isn't like we even talked about the color and like the handles that I wanted and all the stuff. Like what? I thought that was a part of this price. Now you're in a money and reputation conversation with this client. You're not going to win, right? If you try to force it, well, you didn't blah, blah, blah. So that's a spot where if you don't have a document that is clear that says, hey, it's not on here, yeah. right? We didn't have it on the estimate. I know we talked about it, but it's not on the estimate. I'm glad to do that for you, blah, blah, blah. If you don't have that, you're either going to be in a fight with a client or you're going to be paying money to do it for free.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's a leaky bucket. The other one is when it comes to your vendors. If your vendors have a clear understanding of exactly what they're going to get done, how, when it's supposed to be done and how much you're going to pay them to do it,
yep.
there's a level of accountability that you've got in that spot for when your guy comes back to you and says, hey, I need an extra $1,000. I would always say, oh crap, man, what changed on the scope of work? What's different? Was there something I don't know about? No, it's all the same thing.
It's just taking me a little longer. Yeah.
Oh, well, crap, man. Well, you said you would do all this work for $2,000. I'm glad to pay you $2,000, but yeah. nothing's changed, yeah. right?
Well,
now I can have some grace there if I want, but I have a document to hold accountability yeah. if I need.
And part of our subcontractor onboarding is talking through why we can't operate that way, right? Mm-hmm. They understand before they get on the job site, I'm paying you $2,000 because I've quoted my client $3,000. Mm-hmm. And so if you need more money, I don't have it to give because that $1,000, I'm getting paid to do the work that I'm doing. And so you need to look at your work order and say, yes, I can do this for $2,000. Once you commit, I don't have any more money.
Yeah.
They understand that. Then the conversation on the job site's a lot easier. Like, bro, I don't have that money. Right. Like if you would have said in the front end that this was more work than $2,000, I could have had a change order before we started. But
right.
I can't at this point.
I can't justify to the client to go back yeah. for more money.
So going back to our checklist and the growth path checklist, in this section, we have certain things that we're checking boxes on. Like this is where we're going to push you to do template emails, right? Let's start building out template emails in the software. The software has a great, easy way to add a template email. This is the email for invoices. So now every single time I go to send an invoice, I click on the template email, it pops into the software email box, and I can edit it and send it to the customer.
Right.
Right. So let's start. And so we've got check boxes of simple tasks like that, that now is the time to start working on that. But then we have other things where, hey, let's look at how you're using the timeline. Are you using the Gantt chart? Do you have jobs that go beyond a week where a Gantt chart would be helpful for your customer to understand when and how stuff's going? Right. And so we start talking. Some of this is theory and changing actions. And some of this are just check boxes, get that stuff complete.
Right. Right.
The last one is protecting money and reputation.
Which we've kind of already covered.
We've definitely covered that in terms of this is where the software is the number one tool to protect your money and to protect your reputation. Mm-hmm. Everything there is CYA, making sure that everything's happening. And the great part of what we're talking about, you build an estimate on one page.
Yeah.
And from that page, you send it to the customer and you create your work order from the same line item.
Right.
So that way, what the customer has agreed to pay you for, your vendor has agreed to do for that price.
Yep.
There's no talking to the vendor and sending them out to the job site with a laundry list of stuff I wrote on a notepad.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's exactly word for word. So if there's a miscommunication or someone says, actually, it doesn't say paint the basement,
right?
I can go to my customer and say, hey, actually, it doesn't say paint the basement. I need extra money for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So keeping it all organized, making sure that we're protecting our money, but also the reputation of not change ordering on a customer for the exact same work. I just need more money.
Right. Well, and in this section, you know, especially pertaining to the software, we're going to be going into more detail about here are all the tools that you have inside of your software to help you do that stuff.
Yeah.
Here's Gantt charts. Here's where you put your photos and upload all your photos. Here's your document section where you can drop all of that stuff. So we, you know, here's how you pay your people. Here's how you set up online payments. All of those things to really start mastering your software and know how to use every aspect of it to the advantage of your business to create more efficiency and to be prepped and ready to train somebody else on it, right? So that's one of the other aspects in this level. As you move to the next level, you're going to be looking at hiring, right? Well, you've got to train somebody on how to use the software.
Yeah.
You need to know every aspect of the software and how to use it to train somebody to do it.
That's right. So after we, that's the organization software, making sure we're organized. Part of organization too, we talk through building some other paperwork. We kind of, as you go up in levels, we give you more paperwork as needed. And so towards the end of this, we're going to start getting into hiring paperwork, which we'll talk about next week. But really, it's kind of bite by bite. What do you need to keep your company and your business and yourself and your job sites organized? And let's really refine that, so when we make that hire, they can implement that stuff.
Right.
Lastly, the finances. Finances, office, what am I doing office-wise? Again, a podcast 2, 3, 4 weeks ago was how you should be spending your time in the office organizing things. But what we cover going through the checklist, through the coaching program, is budgeting and accounting, number one. Let's look at how you're looking at money, and let's get you education on where you need it. Right? Yep. There's 50 different reports you could be looking at. Which one should you be? When? How often? Why? Let's print out a P&L. Let's walk through it. Let's get it organized. Let's figure out how to categorize differently so you have full control of knowing your money.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to manage your money as a one-man show. Mm-hmm. And it's still difficult, it's way easier. Once you hire someone, if you are not perfectly organized, it becomes chaos and you are going to lose money. I promise you that.
And it's and you're going to get frustrated at that employee because you're going to think that they are
the problem.
Yeah. You're going to think that they're stealing, or they're just frivolously spending money, blah, 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 because it's the first time in your life that you're actually letting somebody reach into your wallet and pay someone.
Yep. And if I don't have the controls and visibility into that profitability on a job, I don't know if you're making money or not as my project manager, as my first hire. I am literally gambling my money that you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. What I'd rather have is the controls and the visibility to look in the software and say, hey, Jared, hey, you're about $300 over budget so far. What's going on? How are we there? And I'm concerned about the next 2 weeks on this job.
Yeah.
That's a 10-second understanding if you are running the software the right way. If you are not, you're going to find that out in 2 months when you lost a bunch of money.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference. One of the features that I really love in the ProStruct 360 software is if I hire a new project manager, I can set in their settings that every one of their bills that they would be creating to pay a vendor for a certain period of time. I can set it for 30 days, 90 days. I can set it forever. Yeah. Right. But let's say I have a 30-day, you know, vetting period for the guy. I don't want that person. I don't know if I can trust them yet.
Yep.
Right. Are they smart with their money? Do they just pay guys whenever? So are they going to follow my processes? So I can set up 90 days. Every single bill that they create goes to a review spot.
Yeah.
That
unscheduled,
unscheduled payments that it sits there. If it's sitting there, it's not getting paid. Yep. It is up to me as the manager owner of the company to go in and review those and say, yeah, that makes sense. That why do you pay this guy $10,000? I got a call from the client yesterday that the paint's not done.
Yeah.
Right. And so it gives you kind of the ability to let him do his job. But when it comes to actually spending the money, there's a stopgap to double check it.
And then once you see it, you say, yep, that's good. That's good. You put it over to scheduled payments. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And from there, you can print your checks, cut the checks, or your office might cut checks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you might end up doing direct deposit. However it goes. There's a way to throttle the trust with the project manager to make sure that they can't hurt you.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of a beauty. Now that's next level. That we'll talk about that next week. the things that we can do and utilize kind of the master's level of the software when it comes to employees and control over them. We've built all that in. You don't need that day one when you're a one man show. That don't worry about that. All those check boxes in the settings. That's for when you're creating team members and that sort of thing. And we'll kind of talk you through all
so that. That's how that's what it looks like in level one, to take the three base fundamentals to the next level.
Yep.
Right. That's what it pushing those things to the next level, where I'm getting a little bit more advanced in each one of those levels. And when you've got to the place, like I said before, first priority is moving to full-time project manager. Second priority is getting these three base fundamentals executed the way that you want them, right? And moving and recording, documenting your processes and all that stuff. At that point, once you've got it and it's really like, hey, I'm, I understand my process really well.
Yeah.
I know I'm executing it. I know the software. I've got finances in order. I'm time managing well. That's the spot that you can start looking at closing the door on level one and moving into level two.
Yep. And if you look at our entire checklist for level one, which is 80 something probably line items, towards the bottom is hire prep, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of level one, we're going to start prepping for hire and going into that stuff. But all of this other stuff has to happen before you can even think about hiring.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, I got the jobs. I'm ready to go. That's fine. You're throwing money in the wind, hoping that it comes back at
you. I've seen it time and time and time again.
Yeah. So it's building towards that. So exiting level one, we're trying to find really four main things. I want pipeline consistency, right? I need to have that pipeline consistency, which we didn't even talk about yet, but that's one of the things we get to is the marketing, branding, pipeline consistency. Yeah. How do we ensure that I don't hire someone and I'm not able to increase my revenue from that hire?
Right.
Number two, financials are in order. If you can't tell me where every dollar is, if you don't have a financial plan, if you don't have the mindset of a CFO in your company, hiring someone is going to devastate you financially.
Yeah.
Nine times out of 10, maybe more than that, 19 times out of 20, if you don't know where your finances are, that hire is not going to work.
Well, and I've said this before, in my opinion, I think if you don't have your finances in order and you hire somebody, it's at minimum a bad idea, if not verging on unethical, because your job at that point, you're signing on to commit to this person that I'm going to help provide food. So long as you do this job, I'm going to help you provide food and put it on the table. Right.
That's right.
So I think that you shouldn't even consider hiring until you have clear vision on your finances.
Yes. Where you got a budget, basic budget's fine, but a budget to where I know this money's coming in, this is where it goes, this are my expenses, this is what I spent on gas, all that stuff.
One of the tests that I would say in that is that if you can print off a P&L and the numbers that come out, you trust them.
Yeah.
Right. I can print off a P&L all day, every day.
Yeah.
But if the numbers are all over the freaking place, it's a worthless document. Yeah. But if I can print off a P&L and I'm like, oh, dude, my numbers are tight. I know what they are. I know that everything's categorized correctly. I can make decisions off of these money.
Yeah.
You're in a good spot.
That's right. Thirdly, you need to be by the end of level one having weekly office hours. I'm spending a certain amount of time every week in the office. Now, once you make a hire, that's going to increase. We'll talk about that next week. But day one, or I'm sorry, level one, at the end of it, you need to be spending a day, 2 days in the office working on what we're talking about, getting prepped, organized, and ready to where I am super efficient with my time. I might be on job sites 3 to 4 days doing estimates, walking crews, doing all that stuff. But I need to be spending office hours and building time. And I think a lot of guys avoid that because they don't know what to do when they sit down. And that's what this whole checklist is for. That's what we do is when you get in the office, this is what you should be working on this week. Couple podcasts ago when we talked about what you should be doing in the office, that was in general if you're a project manager.
Right.
What this growth path does for you is, hey, right now, this week, this is what your office time should look like. In 6 months, it's going to be different, totally different.
Yep.
This is what you should be working on today. And here's your cheat sheet for that to get ahead.
Yeah.
And then finally, you need to be running jobs as a perfect project manager.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah. And at the front end of level one, you don't have to be perfect, right? You don't have to have the photos. You don't have to have your software perfect. You don't have to, because it's all in my head. Mm-hmm. But by the end of level one, as you're growing, getting ready to hire somebody, if you don't have the perfect project manager role model to show someone, to say, this is the bar, this is how we do it. You do one thing less than this, you're failing at your job.
Yep.
If you don't set that bar, it's not going to work with that.
You're going to be bringing somebody in under the don't do as I say, don't do as I do.
And this is one that I would be guilty of where, okay, well, it's 2 weeks out before I hire this guy, I'm going to start doing it perfectly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work because it's not second nature. It's not happening constantly. All of my jobs, it takes months for a job to develop oftentimes. Yep. And having the processes in place allow you to do it that
way. But at the very minimum, at least do that.
Yeah.
At least 2 weeks out, get it in order so that when you bring somebody in, you've got a bar to show them.
But don't kick the can.
Yeah, it might not be natural. The reality is that if you're not using your software as mission control and you're just using it as a data source and you're just dumping data into it, That's all it is. Yeah. And you're wasting your time and money because you're not using it to grow and develop your business. Yeah. You're not using it for the purpose it was created for.
And as we said last week, this is all pre-hire stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of guys come into our system and come into our coaching program and already have hires. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem. Yeah. But let's pause new hires mm-hmm. and get this stuff set up. Bring the current hires up to speed on it and then train the new guys coming in.
Well,
it's going to blow your mind.
A lot of those guys come in and say, I keep hiring people and they're not working out.
Yeah.
Well, let's back up to this level. What are the things in this level that you haven't done yet?
Yep.
Well, you didn't create a bar for them. You didn't even have a bar for them to look at.
Yeah.
Right. You just said, come in and start going. Let's get that in order.
Yep.
Right.
That's right.
So that's where this really comes in. And it's super, super beneficial is that even somebody advanced, you know, on the org chart, we can back them back down all the way to, do you have a tax ID number?
Yep.
Right. Stupid questions, but we're going to go through and we're going to come up with a punch list of action items of 5 or 6 things that you need to get done to get caught up to the level that you're at so that you can be successful moving forward at your current level.
Level one, we call stabilizing because mm-hmm. it's going from an unstable kind of base of I'm just kind of running things to understanding your product and what you're selling mm-hmm. and having a stability and how the process happens.
Yep.
And so once you get past stabilizing, next week we're talking about hiring and growth.
Yep.
Once I've got a product that I can duplicate and sell, then we're going to go into hiring people to be a part of the, growing that product and growing to the next level. And so that's level two. And
yep.
there's still level 3 and 4 that we're not even going to cover because those are more customized around your companies. But the next week is going to be a great one in terms of how do you hire? How do you grow? And how do you keep checks on all of this stuff as you're growing?
That's right.
If you want to hear more from us, please hit us up. We'd love to chat with you. Like we said, we'll give you the base level for free. If you want to just get started but don't have money for coaching right now, understood.
Yeah.
Sign up with us. Get in on the complete level. It's $199 a month. It's 2 weeks for free when you sign up for it. And it's a month to month. You can cancel anytime if it's not for you. Get in on that level. Let's do a coaching session to get your baseline stuff understood, prepping for this level one. We'd love to do that with you. Go to ProStruck360.com. Thanks again. We'll see you guys next week.
See you.
Bye.